This is All India Radio. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on India International Science Festival, Role of Science Diplomacy. The participants are Anil Sahasrabutte, Chairman, All India Council for Technical Education, and Nimish Kapoor, Journalist.
Prime Minister Shri Narendra Modi inaugurated the 6th edition of India International Science Festival, IISF, on Tuesday. India International Science Festival, as rightly described by our Honorable Prime Minister, is a festival that truly depicts the temperament and character of India on science. This year, we have observed how this clarion call for building an Atmanirbhar Bharat, the self-reliant India, has initiated a massive spurt in innovations. The strong culture of science diplomacy has naturally helped us in earning our rightful place. We are standing at a threshold where our scientific diplomacy, supported by a powerful national education policy, will propel us to attain new heights in terms of developing future-ready global human resources. Professor Anilji, the Prime Minister said all our efforts are aimed at making India the most trustworthy center for scientific learning. At the same time, we want our scientific community to share and grow with the best of global talent. One of the steps taken to achieve it is hosting and partnering in hackathons to provide exposure and opportunity to Indian scientists. What do you think about India's preparations to make the nation most trustworthy center for scientific learning?
Pradhan Mantri Ji, whatever said in the IISF inaugural session has a lot of value in terms of not just Atmanirbhar Bharat, but also science diplomacy, which he has rightly pointed out. If you look back in terms of developments of science, India, with its rich heritage, way back from the Gurukula times to that of the universities of Nalanda, Takshila, had prospered in terms of science and technology to a great extent. In terms of mathematics, we are all aware of Bhaskara, Aryabhatta, and many other stalwarts in the domain of mathematics. Same is the case with physical sciences like physics, astronomy, at the same time in chemistry, material science, in terms of Ayurveda, yoga. We contributed immensely, but somewhere down the line, we had missed the bus, so it is time to capture that essence. And with the national new education policy, which is in place, where we talk about multidisciplinary education, values, ethics, innovation, research, huge funding for research. We are going to catapult the science education in a big way through this national education policy. But obviously, the application of science in technology is natural corollary of that, and therefore, we will be able to succeed in that as well. As far as science diplomacy is concerned, if you look back, our programs of space and the nuclear, they are both embedded in Atmanirbharta on one side, but at the same time, wherever there are requirements of some raw material, we have been able to engage in terms of science diplomacy and getting those. If we are not getting, and if there are even sanctions, we have been indigenously developing, including liquid propulsion engine for the space, as well as for the nuclear power plants, we have been able to do many aspects which the sanctions were not allowing us. And then if there are large number of public sector undertakings which have come up, whether it is NAL, BEL, BHEL, all of them including DRDO, there is a huge capability which exists, but it was not used fully. And with this diaspora who are there in different countries helping India back, I'm sure this is going to help us, all the institutes like IIC, IITs, ISERS. We can ask students from all over the world to come here for study in India as well. I think science diplomacy in its best form is going to be visible now.
We have seen how a global pandemic has triggered unprecedented international scientific collaboration, and suddenly science diplomacy has become the order of the day. How is India placed in this new science diplomacy order?
If you look at all the universities, colleges have been closed down, and therefore everything has become online. Not only classes, examinations, whether it is in terms of training of faculty members, whether it is in terms of our meetings, seminars, workshops, conferences, everything has gone online. And this is a grand opportunity, because wherever expertise is required in different forms, we may be able to use that expertise from anywhere in the world much better today than any time elsewhere earlier. We were always dependent upon the travel of those scientists to India, and a lot of expenditure, the problems of visa, then accommodation, cost involved and their timing also. So they would also not have a straight 10 days gap which is available in their calendars. And therefore, we were all handicapped. But today, that handicap in terms of coronavirus, that challenge has given us a lot of opportunities to engage with best scientists all across the world. And it's only a matter of the time scheduling. When we are in the day, they may be in the evening or night. When they are in the day, we are in the night. Some adjustment in the time scheduling, if it is done, we are able to make use of in terms of education. In terms of healthcare, huge number of laboratories who have been testing for getting suitable solution for the COVID-19. Different types of engagements are there in different countries. Maybe some of them will succeed. For that, our efforts are also there. And Prime Minister also mentioned hackathon. We are already undergoing a special hackathon called the Drug Discovery Hackathon. And this hackathon is not just merely for COVID-19, but in future also, whenever any such new virus in the future, our preparedness must be there. Otherwise, today, the whole world is grappling for the last 1 year to get a vaccine. So if the methodology of arriving at a right solution out of millions of possible molecules, I think that kind of engagement with our educationists in terms of students, faculty, those who are in the industry, if you are able to get all of them on board and train them using this COVID-19 as the opportunity, I'm sure in the future also we will be able to do much better.
Apart from the COVID pandemic, there are other trans-border challenges like weapons of mass destruction, cyber security, climate change, and most importantly, the energy and environmental challenges. Their resolution calls for collaborative application of science and technology. How is India responding to these challenges?
One very important thing which AICT did even much before the new education policy came into existence was to have a perspective plan for the future in terms of technical education in the country. And the committee was headed by one Dr. Mohan Reddy, who is the chairman of the Board of Governors of IIT Hyderabad and CEO of CIENT Company. And there were representatives from NASSCOM, FICCI, CII. All of them came forward with 9 major emerging areas. And what you talked about, cyber security or AI, IoT, machine learning, robotics, they're all embedded into that particular 9 different areas. And we started introducing them into the curriculum. In the last 2 years, most of the universities have adopted the curriculum. But just adopting in the curriculum is no use unless faculty who are going to handle those courses are trained well. And so we started training under what is known as Atal Academies. AICT is training and learning, ATAL, Atal Academies. And in the last 1 year, much before pandemic, we were doing that in face-to-face mode. We trained about 9,500, below 10,000 faculty members in about 185 programs. But pandemic helped us in conducting all of these programs in an online mode, and we have already trained 85,000 faculty members through 565 workshops, and 400 plus workshops are in the pipeline. We will touch a figure of 1.5 lakh. So this 1 year is going to be tenfold effective, and the cost wise, tenfold less cost and tenfold more people being trained. And that is how India is fully prepared, geared up, whether it is cyber security, energy resources, drones, artificial intelligence. I think that is where, whether it is cross border or whether in terms of getting sufficiency, in terms of power, we are going to do it. And we are happy that a lot of solar power plants are coming, wind power plants are coming, and that will also solve the problem of energy. And cyber security is certainly a very important area which we are dealing with.
The soft power of science and technology is all set to play a more important role than the military and economic-driven hard power in the new world order. In what all ways can India leverage its scientific and technological strength to be trustworthy superpower in the world?
I'll tell you a few areas where we have been as good as any other best country in the world. For example, in cyber security, in terms of energy, in terms of nanotechnology, in terms of space especially. In fact, many countries launch their satellites using ISRO facilities. Even countries like France and USA sometimes make use of our facilities, launch their satellites, because ours is very economically viable. Our satellite launch to either Mars mission or the Moon mission is calculated in terms of what is the fare for auto. We compare with that, as cheap as that. And therefore, Indian science has really taken forward in terms of variety of ways. It has catapulted itself. And therefore, when we help so many countries in these various domains, I'm sure that is what is talked about as science diplomacy. We'll get help in many other forms as well.
Prime Minister gave a call to the global community to invest in India Indian talent and innovate in India. He told the gathering that India has the brightest minds and celebrates a culture of openness and transparency. The government of India stands ready to address any challenge and improve the research environment there. He said science brings out the best within the person and uses the power of difference. We need more innovations and research to attract global industries in India. What should be made for this in higher education sector, in research and development?
I think there are two important programs started about 3 years ago. One of them is called GAN, Global Initiative for Academic Networking, where faculty from any university in the world who are good in their subject are invited by paying full cost of their travel and honorarium to India, and they stay here for either 1 week or 2 weeks. So the state-of-the-art courses, research that they are doing will be brought here. And more than about 1,500 people came in just about 1.5-2 years. And so many faculty from different universities, different countries, they came here and they saw the strength of Indian science. When they come here and deliver lecture, there are students and faculty who are sitting in the lecture. They will ask questions and they will know the talent that exists here in India. So that helps India in not only growing in terms of ranking, but also in terms of engagement. Then there is a program we started last year called Spark, funding for research for Indian universities and professors, but that funding will come only when the project is jointly submitted by an Indian university and a foreign university. So there is a collaboration which has to happen. Without collaboration, you won't get the funding. So Indian universities looking for people from abroad, start connecting with them, and that helps mutual exchange of faculty, exchange of students, all of this in getting India as a brand value for education. Secondly, the government itself in the other field of entrepreneurship and the MSDE, ease of doing business, our ranking has been constantly improving. Ranking in innovation index from 81st position to 48th position in last 5 years, all of that is making us a destination for doing innovation. And if you look at most of the R&D labs of the top global companies, not just global 500, top even 50 companies of the world, if you take them, they all have their establishment for R&D and innovation in 3 or 4 cities of India. That is in Bangalore, in Pune, in Hyderabad, in Chennai, or in Noida and Delhi, somewhere here. So if Indian diaspora, Indian people who are residing now may have become citizens of that country or otherwise, they are requested to put in their money for innovation here in India to start creating startups here. I'm sure the locus is going to be one of those 5-6 cities and the ecosystem already exists.
The Prime Minister asserted that the new national education policy will help in fostering scientific temper for an early age. He said now focus has shifted from outlays to outcomes, from textbooks to research and application. The policy will encourage creation of a pool of top quality teachers. This approach will help the budding scientists. This is being supplemented by Atal Innovation Mission and Atal Thinking Lab. So what are the plans and schemes for fostering scientific temper in our school children and youth?
The scientific temper comes from looking at various facets in the nature and then understanding that and experimenting it yourself. Right from the age of 3, the new system which has taken over from 10 plus 2 to going to be 5 plus 3 plus 3 plus 4, in the first 5 years, there are only either stories, games or outings where students will be asked to observe, learn, not by writing and reading, but by observation and by doing by hand. And this is absolutely very important. Once that spirit of opening up something, looking at something very closely, using of these 5 senses which the God has given, you know, eyes, ears, nose, the tongue and the skin, all 5 senses when they are used effectively in terms of learning new things, I think scientific temper automatically develops. If a child goes to a garden and sees the flower, what is the color? Why is this color going to be like this? Why sun is rising is orange in color and while setting in orange in color, but other times it is very bright white. All of these questions will come into the mind of the students and they ask probing questions to the teachers. And therefore, teacher education, which you said faculty training is very, very important. And how do they deal with that? And as soon as there is encouragement for asking questions and answering those questions, and that is where, whether it is Atal Innovation Labs, where students are getting opportunity to see lots of very high-end machines, start using them at the young age, will certainly not only become scientific in spirit, but also technologically superior. And they will be able to create many innovations which are going to be useful for society.
Thank you, Professor Anil Sahasrabhadeji.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on India International Science Festival, Role of Science Diplomacy. The participants were Anil Sahasrabuddhe, Chairman, All India Council for Technical Education, and Nimish Kapoor, Journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of All India Radio. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our website, newsonair.com. You may email your opinion about this program at airnstalks@gmail.com.